اور ماں سے یوں تو سے اسے ٹیک می ایز یور فادر ایز یور مدر اینڈ ایز یور ٹیچر یو فالو مائی انسٹرکشن وین یو رائز ابو باڈی کانشنس یو سی سم تھنگ مور یو میں ٹیل اینڈ تھنگ سو دس از سم تھنگ ویچ اسٹارٹ وین یو رائز ابو باڈی کانشنس اینڈ گرو امر داس کیم ٹو دی فیٹ آف سچ اے ماسٹر آفٹر 70 لانگ ایئرز He says, I'm great, I've got great blessing to have a living mother. So Guru Ram Das, he says, prayer, anybody would pray. Oh God, make us the slave of the slaves who have become your slave. We are all, you see, slaves of our outgoing faculties, slaves of the mind ramifications, we are slaves of the outer enjoyment of all those who are attached to us. We are not slaves of God. So he prayed, O God, let me, lead me to the feet of such a master who is your mouthpiece, and keep me with him till the end of my life. Let my soul depart while at his feet. Naturally, any lover would like to die at the feet of his beloved, is it not? We have been lovers of the world. When we are living, we call, where my son, where my mother, where that. And the man who is the lover of God, he says, oh God, I'm going to my father. This is all master said. Guru Amar Das said, now I am going back home. Don't cry. Baba Jamsi said the same thing. Our master used to sit some months before, well, I am leaving you. Oh, such like masters, we pray, oh God, give us the feet of such a personality who is the mouthpiece of God. And he said, how long can I should lie to die at his feet? This is very biggest prayer, he said, and prayer. Of all the prayers that we have. And he says, why have chosen this thing? He says, even the most learned people like Shankara, who first gave out about the, what you say, oneness of God is all God into expression or whatever it is. We are no other than God. Then later on his father gave out the Ramanuj that we are still a cover over that power. We are not that. He also, you see, first he was teaching like that and ultimately became to be a lover of Rama. God is the making power. So as I told you yesterday, in the temples, in the mosques, in the churches, there are symbols of light are found out there. Which is better? There are symbols only to show that such like models, that such a like light and sound of God is reverberating within you. And one asks, who is the better? And he is better of the two. Of all these in whom that light is effulgent, is radiating, that is best of all. So these outer things were found just for teaching the people that such light is there, such a light is within you, you are the two temples of God. We have the respect for outer temples and places of worship, as it is meant to direct people to the true temple of God which you are carrying. So long as the practical people were there, they gave a demonstration of that. They saw their own body was the true temple of God with the grace of the Guru. So he is best of all. Now he says, Shankara, the most learned man, came out after to worship of man, incarnation. And Narad, who is the I see the bhakti yoga, head of the bhakti yoga, like Ramakrishna Paramahansa. He took to the bhakti yoga. And then last of all he saw, he first worshipped God in the symbol of mother. Mother enveloped me all around, right, left, up, down. There was no place where mother was not. He came to his guru. He said, look here, I cannot rise into oneity, unity of God. He took something, whatever was lying, and put him here. Put your attention here. Rise above. Then he had risen to oneness of God. So I tell you, the most learned and the most devoted God, I did bhakti yoga, and also of all other yogas, they bear testimony, they hanker to come to the feet of somebody who is God made flesh. One is, fire is burning somewhere, to sit by that. And one is learning how to burn the fire by rubbing. So that is why Maulana Rum gave out, if you can find to sit at the feet of a master, not a so-called master, excuse me, for 1 hour, that will give you an effect, a benefit as you would not be able to derive by sitting 100 years in the outer palace. So, Purunanda says, why we want to set the feet of a master like that and die at his feet? Because you, the most learned people, the most bhakti yoga heads and others all crave for the what is presence, or the guidance, or the company of those who were made flesh, direct mouthpieces of God. He says, further it is, such like people, those who were made flesh, wherever they laid their feet on, where they resided, they became the places of pilgrimages. Christ lived in Jerusalem. That is the place of pilgrimage for all Christians. Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad, was at Mecca. That is the place of pilgrimage of all the Muslims all over the world. Buddha was awakened. In India there is a place there, that is called, that place is the place of pilgrimage for all Buddhists. Guru Nanak born somewhere, which are called now as Nankana Sahib. He sat at the feet of some tree which became sweet, part of it, the fruit became sweet, then called as by that place where he sat. So one word made flesh sat in so many places, all places became the worthy places of worship. Which is better of all? Kabir puts question, O God, have you doubted me? Tell me, clear that out. Is it the world made better or the places of pilgrimage? You have to say, the world made flesh, wherever it says, is better of all these places of worship. Pilgrimages, because it is due to him that pleasure pilgrimage came to be. So that is why Guru Ramdas say, I pray, O God, let me sit at the feet of you, of such a word made flesh, and die at his feet. Then he says, what to do? Just seek, if you hear somebody like that, go and sit at his feet. Don't think of your high position, or your wealth, or your ego. You just hear somebody like that, go and sit at it. See for yourself what you are. Don't go by the propaganda. Simply go and see. These are the things which sometimes stand in our way. You know, there is one saint, Ravidas. Mirabai, a saint, came to his feet and was blessed, was put on the way. The king of his time was called by name Pipa. He heard about it, that Ravidas, who was by profession a cobbler, is a great saint here. So many people have gathered together at his feet and derived benefit. He also wanted to go to his feet, but he considered, I am a king. How can I go to the feet of a cobbler? See, worldly position, sometimes worth the wealth, sometimes high education, stands our way. Oh, I know so much, I have so much, why should I go? One day he could not remain, you see. At the evening time, here you see, at the evening there are many people go around. In old days, people used to go to the places of worship, sit there, temple, or at home. He ran up and go to the house, went to the house where Ravidas saint was living. He said, Master, I have come. He said, all right, yes. Not thought of his position and wealth and anything. He has come, all right, I have given such a thing he would remember forever. You see, he was just washing the skin in the cobbler. And the king was afraid, oh my lord, what will happen if my master just drink that water which is washing of the skin? You see, the predominance of presence of a great master, man forgets everything. He could not refuse. He simply took the water, let it go to the shirt, ran back, oh God, I am saved. I was otherwise spoiled. When he came home, he called for the washerman, little wash this cloth. That was some stain of his skin, of the water of his skin, washing. So the daughter, he asked his daughter to just with you. Come, please it off, wash it, and then the shirt was washed. In that there was attention, you see, mind that. Attention works wonders. What is initiation? It's a literal attention given to, which gives you a boost to rise above body consciousness. Outward expression of the soul is called attention. When attention is diverted, rabbited at one place, that works wonders. So, washerman's daughter became to be known as a saint. People began to gather together at his feet, at her feet. King also came to know about it, that the daughter of my washerman is a saint, people are coming, let me go to and visit him. He is not a cobbler, she is not a cobbler, you see. Went over there. When he reached there, the daughter of the washerman stood up his hands, hold it. And the Pipa king said, told him, look here, daughter, I have come to see you as a saint, not as a daughter. You should not have stood. She said, also I have not stood that because you are a king. I am only standing in reverence because whatever I have got, it is through your favor. And she explained what it was, that I just washed the stain of the, on the shirt with you. Gave us with my tongue. Then he repented and came back. Now the master, the people say, if you hear of such a master, who would not wish to go to such a master? But such masters have been few in the past. Even now they are few, but they are not, world is not without them. There is food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. Demand and supply goes on as a law. If a child was born 500 years back, or now, does not nature make arrangements for world in the mother before he is born? Don't you think those who will come in future, they will refuse that consideration? So, masters do live. They never say we are gods. They simply say we are your brothers. We are all brothers and sisters of God. Of course, they say they, with the grace of God, something is working, then all credit goes to Him. So, Guru Ram Das gives, that wherever you hear such like masters, you go to its feet. Don't think of the worldly position. Don't think of your high position. Don't think of the learning that you have got. To go it better, you see. Saint Augustine said, what is the way back to God? He said, first humility, second humility, and third humility. You are humble only when you try to go to somebody. Even if you go there, you are not humble, then whatever tumbler, you see, whatever glass is put under it, tumbler of water, only that will be filled. If it is placed above the tumbler, then what you know that's all right. Keep it to you. You won't just hear what he says. He might be saying something else. And you understand that, follow it. When you have that thing manifest in you, become humble, truly humble. Any fruit laden tree, the branch of it laden with fruit that bends down to the ground. So humility comes up only then. Now the point is, what does he give such a man? Your business actually. Why should you go to such a person? He says, his first work is give a boost to you to rise up above body consciousness. He gives you a rebirth into the beyond. You know what Christ gave out? Except you be born anew, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, who was a very learned Jew, had there, he came up, Lord, how can we are old ones, how can we re-enter the womb of the mother and be reborn? He said, you are a learned man, everybody respect you. Don't you know that flesh is born of the flesh and spirit of the spirit? Then he said, you must be reborn. This rebirth is called. Among these, it is twice born. You see, this is what they give. That's only head at the feet of mass. Guru Nanak was asked, when did you escape the wheel of life and death, coming and going? He said, by having a rebirth at the feet of my master. When you become conscious co-worker of divine plan, your ego is gone. If you have not become conscious co-worker of divine plan, then you are the doer. Whatever you sow, you will have to reap that. Good action will give you good results, bad. The wheel of coming and going will go on. So this is the first thing who raises you from the depths of the poisons of the outgoing faculty above all that, bring you up and open your inner eye to see the light of God. Mora Rung referred to it as, we are all in the prison house of the body. We have forgotten ourselves. How to come out of the body? He says, you break the roof, open it, hold into the roof and go out. So in man body, you see, so long as you are working at the level of the outer faculties, all impressions are coming within you. If you stop all that, draw your attention from all outside, the outer faculties won't work. And just collect all your attention at the feet of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eyes, then that inner eye will open, single eye, you will see the light of God. You see the voice of God, which becomes the fears, which will lead you where, that will lead you where, from where that emanated. The God said, I am one and wish to be many. There was vibration. And vibration results in two things, light and sound. So this is direct way back to God. So, what is done? You see, When you meet a master, he gives you how to rise above body consciousness, how to become conscious co-worker at divine time that power is working, which is not you. Then you lose your ego, that Lord of reckoning, of justice, which just gives us what is decisions according to our actions done by that doer. But those who become conscious co-workers of divine plan, they have not to attend that court of law. So this is, while all your records back are present, when there is nobody to bear the reactions of the past, no ego is left, no doer is left, then who will bear that? So all are watchers. So you are not to attend the court of reckoning after your death. As you sow, so shall you reap. You escape that beast. Because you become conscious, you are no more doer of the day thing. So, such like people, you say, what to do? When you want permanent peace and permanent jaya, then there is one thing only. Don't, he said, delay a minute. Seek the feet of somebody who is master in that sense. And so when such master come, what do you do? They all right, have the way back to God, come up, God will lead you there. He has sent me to carry you out there. He does not say, I am God, he says, I am messenger. Just, you see, just to Christ's house. Masters who come into the world, electricity is the same, somewhere it burns, fire, somewhere it gives you eyes clean. There are two different workings of that power, which is called. One is called incarnations of God, the other come of the negative power, you might say, of God, time, and the other is incarnations of God. So saints also come to the world, their mission is different. And others also come, their mission is to punish the wicked, to uphold the righteous, and let the world going. Whereas those who come to take back souls back home, that is to depopulate the world, you see, and bring people home. It is something, I may give you an example. There's a prison house. One man goes there, he takes pity on them, they don't get good food, he allows some money. And the prisoner begins to have good food after that. Another man goes there, he sees they've got no clothes. He sanctions some amount, and the prisoner begins to have good clothes. A third man goes over there. He says they have got no ventilated buildings to live in. He sanctions some allotment, made some money, and they begin to have good ventilated houses. All three people went over there. They are sincere for the prisoners. They began to have good food, good clothing, good buildings to live in. Another man went up. He had the key of the door, of the prison. He opened the door. All right, go out each other. Who had more sympathy for those men? So saints are like that. They come to take you back home. So whenever you come under the custody of such a personality, called by any name you like now, he's a man born like us, of course. But the difference is, he has controlled all his outgoing faculties, he takes work from them as he desires, and we are led away by the outgoing faculties. He rises, he wants his body working in the world, but his soul is in tune with God, is the mouthpiece of God. He appears to very much have engaged in worldly affairs, but whenever he wants, he rises above body consciousness and transcendence to be done. So he can work both in here and there. To have such a master, living master, is a great blessing. So such like people come up, then the question comes, what is in their hands with which they do all these things? They are world made flesh, mind that. That word has got, as you told, as I submitted to you, to a special lighted sun. They come, that's already within us, but our soul is just identified with the world outside. If we draw all our attention from outside and give it something to start with, some capital to start with. It's not simply said, go on doing it, you won't have it. No. A bird in hand is better than two in the bush. He gives you demonstration of that, how to rise above body consciousness. Give you some capital to start with, of light and sound, by regular practice. They do own, you see, as Tarun Guru Amardas says, I was sometime like you working the world, under the control of outgoing faculties, but now I have risen above with the grace of God, working through my Guru. So every saint has his past and every sinner future. So there is hope for everybody. Those who bought man body, they have got the heredity right, as I told you, to know God. So in their hand, what nectar they have got, what medicine they have got, by which they raise our soul from all outward enjoyment, gives the higher bliss within, that it will bring you in contact with the world within you. Thy world is like but to my feet. Take heed that the light which is you is not darkness. With that thing, they do like that. So, when the master comes, you know that when the Christ sent his disciples to preach outside, he said, what you heard in the ear, tell them from the housetops. These things are now being given out openly as platform. This is the basic teaching of all masters who came, whether in the East or the West. Now we need somebody. If we can rise up our own self, well and good, what more is wanted? But if we cannot, if somebody comes there, then God sends him. Your prayer is true. God made some arrangement to bring us in contact with somewhere where he can have this facility of rising to. Demonstration of rising above body consciousness, opening inner eye. So they come and proclaim, here's the way. God wants each one of you to come back to Him. And that thing which leads you to your true home is within you already, controlling you in the body. You are simply to withdraw your attention from outside and give you contact with that, which will lead to where, from where it emanates, to absolute law. So all outer religions, the labels of which we are carrying, they have these very basic teachings in the scriptures. For want of practical people, we have forgotten. This is what I am putting before you. It is no new thing. It is already given in the books. In the scriptures, I have written one book, Naam or Word, from all scriptures. They simply touch the true living and higher consciousness. Social body, the labels of which you are carrying, remain there, first step. Have true living and somebody there, if you can have your own self-conscious, that power which is within you, when will you know about it? When your attention is drawn from all outside and from the body below, then your inner eye, your single eye will open, you see it in them. If you can do your own self well and good, do it. If not, we cannot do it generally. Because we are already identified with the outgoing faculties, intellect, body, the world. They have forgotten ourselves and all practices. What we use for meeting God relate to your faculties, mind or intellect, how can you rise above it? So someone needed to raise you up, give you a demonstration of it, give you something, some capital to start with as a light and sound within you and then dwell further, that there the ABC starts. That's not the end all, the be all. Thank you for your patient hearing. What I have come to know, I have come for you. It is for you to, for calm consultation, how it appears to you.
Good evening. Welcome to the satsang from Master Kripal Singh. The recording that was just played was the last 30 minutes of the talk titled Man Know Thyself. It was given by Master on 9th November 1972 at New York. Our reader this evening is Christine Clevenger. Hello, Christine.
Hello, Pradeep. I'll go ahead and begin with Master's 1967 birthday message called In My Heart, I Have a Vision. Dear children of light, I send my hearty love and blessings to you, one and all, on this, my 74th physical birthday. I am a man in soul body like each of you. All are men first, bearing the badges of one or the other religion. All mankind is one with the same privileges from God, namely, born the same way, having the same construction of their bodies, outer and inner, and the same conscious entity, a drop of the ocean of all consciousness, enlivening the body. To be born in a temple is good, as it works as a casing of the kernel of truth, alive. But to die while congealed to the casing and forgetting the kernel of truth within is debarring one from the truth, which is a heinous sin. In my heart, I have a vision of fraternity of spirit, organized religion with too much emphasis on outer forms and rituals becomes fortified compartments of egoistic power more than instruments of service or aids of self-realization. These inevitably result in quarrels with one another. We need a simple movement of the spirit with harmony and brotherhood of humanity and love for man, bird, and beast. I take religion as a yoga of life with love. Yoga means the control of mind and of desires vitiated with egoism. This will lead to real happiness if we renounce the fruits of our actions and work as instruments or puppets of the Lord. Let our actions be an offering to the Lord. Mind that spirituality is non-egoism. May our selfless work for spreading this message of the Master, which is God's work, draw many unto Thee, O Lord, and may our name be forgotten. Let us belong to the kingdom of the Master, the Word made flesh, and dedicate our life to the service of the Master, who is the beauty of the simple life and selfless service. Let us follow the Master and make His noble teachings a part and parcel of our lives and attune ourselves with joyti, divine light, and music of all harmonies reverberating in all creation, which will open our inner eye and will leave no room in our hearts for spite or hate for others. What to speak of brothers and sisters who are united in unbreakable bonds of spirit by the Master. Your heart will be filled with love and compassion for all that live, sentient or insentient, man, beast, bird, and all nature. We should lead and teach a life of compassion and love to all beings on earth. He really knoweth who loveth and serveth all, is the message of the wise ones of humanity, like Buddha, Christ, and Nanak. It is the message which our daily life and modern world so piteously needs. I wish you to progress spiritually and to lead a life of righteousness with good thoughts, good words, and good actions, with all love. Your own, Kripal Singh. And next, I will begin a new reading called Right Understanding Exalted, which can be found in the June 1972 Satsandesh. A human being can benefit from another to the extent of that person's knowledge. First, we should remember that the whole world is at the mercy of the mind, which has four phases. One phase is absorbed attention. The second is the result of that in-mind activity. The third phase differentiates through the intellect. And the fourth draws inferences out of the differentiation, through which an intoxicated, intense sense of pleasure occurs. And this is pride. These are the functions of the four phases of mind. Whatever one learns, one can pass on to others. Those who have journeyed along the path of inference can in turn teach others whatever they have learned, again through inference, but they cannot through inference give any practical experience. I once went to a gathering in Kanpur where the people were listening to talks on the Gita. The secret teaching is mentioned in the holy books, but for want of a realized person, the meaning is not understood. In the fourth and sixth chapters of the Gita, it is clearly written that one must go to a God-realized person and with all sincerity question him and get the answers. It states, furthermore, that when you are satisfied, you should follow the instructions of that God-realized person, and you will also gain the realization. Then in the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th chapters, it is explained even more openly that one must go behind the eyes, and so on. Now, this obviously is something that can only be done practically, and if this scripture is not heard through the discourse of one who has actually gained the knowledge in experience, how can one follow the correct import of it? So, in Kanpur, one brother stood up and said, "Brothers, get ready, for I am just now going to give you the darshan of the Lord." Naturally, everyone was most impressed to hear this statement. He gave a very good talk, most praiseworthy. Intellectually, he very beautifully explained the subject and brought it to a conclusion that there is some higher power. But he had not seen that power and could not show it to the people. What I am illustrating is that a man can only guide others up to the level he has himself reached and not beyond that. He who is surrounded by mind and senses and talks on the same level, no matter how wonderful the talk may be, but has not himself risen above the mind, intellect, and senses, how can he possibly take another beyond them? It is very necessary to give some serious thought on this particular point. Reading, writing, and thinking are the first steps along the way. To read the holy books is not a waste of time, for they are the expressions and words of the realized souls who really experience the truth. Do you understand? Listen to the Master's true words. He speaks of what he sees. Whatever the Masters see, they give out. When they saw, they sang, and those songs gave forth fruit. Those who were caught up in mere feelings, God is ever existent, I feel him to be so, and so on, were most voluble in describing this ever existent nature, but only by feelings. It is rather like the proverbial group of blind people who tried to describe the elephant. One man felt the elephant's legs and said, "Oh, he is like a pillar." One man felt the ear and said, "Brothers, he is like a fan." Another felt the stomach and declared the elephant to be like a barrel. And one felt the trunk and insisted he was like a rope. Now, none of these blind men had actually seen the elephant, so the judgment of them all was inaccurate because they were relying on feelings only. So those people who listen to the statements of those who speak from feelings will remain themselves governed by feelings and will ever be at conflict among themselves, supporting their respective gurus' versions. When the elephant is described by one with his eyes open, he will say, "Yes, his legs are like pillars, his stomach like a barrel," etc. He will place the whole picture in a very clear-cut and accurate manner. It is worthwhile understanding this point very fully, that you can be guided only up to that point which your guide has reached, and if he is deeply involved in his feelings, he will preach what he feels is true. And in this way, any number of conclusions can be reached whereby people will fight among themselves over the controversies. God is one, but his power is working in different ways. Some people worship God as Lord Shiva, and some as Lord Vishnu. The Shiva devotee will say, "I do not want to see Vishnu's face." And the Vishnu devotee will not wish to see Shiva's face. Oh, brothers, this is one and the same power from the same source, but working at different types of work. The person whose eye is open to the truth sees clearly that these are different phases of the same God power. The power which comes from a powerhouse is at one place heating through fire, and at some other location is freezing through ice. The man using the heat may be of the opinion that electricity can only produce heat, and the man in the freezing plant may stubbornly insist that electricity can only be used for freezing, but the expert from the powerhouse sees and knows that electric power can do many things. Each man speaks from his own level of knowledge, be it restricted or comprehensive. The mystery of life must be solved, but he who feels the solution will just describe his feelings, and he who reaches a conclusion through inference will just explain his theory of inferences. And what of the person who has walked the emotional path? He will start dancing, for he can only express himself emotionally. This is all due to the fact that none of them have seen. That is why their statements will differ, and that is why their statements cannot be absolutely correct. One can begin to see why there is always so much conflict on the subject of religion. The Vedas in this regard say, truth is one, but people through intellect have explained it variously. We should always remember this point, that this subject is such that cannot be completely grasped by intellect. And what does the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad say? It says that to bring God into intellectual terms is as impossible as trying to quench the thirst with wine or extract oil from sand. On the same subject, Guru Nanak says, it cannot be achieved by thought, though the thoughts be millions. It is not a subject for thinking, although thinking may take one a little nearer toward finding it. So when will the riddle be solved? When? Senses are immobile, the mind at rest, and the intellect is stilled. Then the soul perceives. Without a perfect master, there is no right understanding, and therefore no real progress. Without the right understanding, each one sits in pride, saying, my way is the right one, and attempts to force everyone else to accept it. Why all the conflict and dissension when all these different phases have the same source? Even in the matter of way of life, some say the householder's life is the best, and some say the renunciate's life is the best. So, which is better? The masters say, happiness lies neither in the home nor in leaving it. Happiness lies in the knowledge gained from the master's company. Finding true happiness does not rest with renouncing or not renouncing the worldly life, and can only be found by contacting the truth at the feet of a master. The masters are those who have seen the truth, and therefore are not their statements more correct? The holy books contain the words of those who had right understanding. They saw, and they gave out. Now, what is right understanding? In a few words, there is someone who gave us birth, father and mother. But brothers, there must be someone who is responsible for the creation of all life and through whom all birth comes about. This is an inference of the intellect, is it not? All worship the Maker in one form or another, call him Ram, Allah, or God. Now, Ram, Allah, and God are not all different beings. The Creator of all creation is one, but was given various names by the Rishis, Munis, and Mahatmas. In truth, he has no name. Bow down to the nameless. But to help the people remember him, the masters gave him names. For instance, he was called Ram. This word comes from room, which means reverberating in all creation. He is immanent in all forms. And to realize that being with many names, we entered one or another of the religions. Hundreds of lovers, but the beloved is one for all. Religion and caste are different, but the work is one for all. This statement is really the very basis of right understanding. And if right understanding develops, where is conflict? Where is dissension? The soul is a conscious entity. God has given a physical form to each one, the outer and inner construction of which is the same in all. even the appearance is the same. The same sicknesses attack the physical form. Furthermore, each soul is under the influence of the mind and the senses, which in turn drag it outward toward the worldly enjoyments. So he who separates the soul from mind, and mind from senses, and senses from enjoyments, gets the right understanding in truth. He is a devotee of the one Creator, and by sitting beside such an enlightened devotee of God, one can also gain this right understanding. For lack of it, man remains trapped in the world. All men in all religions are subject to this imprisonment, and if you want to release yourself from this depressing condition, then when senses are immobile, the mind at rest, and the intellect is stilled, then the soul perceives. You can see that even the cure for man's misery is one and the same for all. Go to one who has stilled his mind and senses. If you go to an intellectually learned person, you will hear a very fine discourse with perhaps 5 or 10 different meanings to one point through inferences. But he will not have seen what he is speaking of. And what is more important, he cannot show it to you. Swamiji Maharaj says, if you desire release from the world, listen to the true master's instructions. When I spoke of these things in the West, they asked me, you have described the truth in very simple and clear words. Why has it been so difficult to understand up to now? I explained that those who described the truth for them had themselves no experience of it, and could merely express some ideas at the intellectual level. In this context, truth has been described so often, and in so many different ways that whatever was known of it originally has been forgotten. No wonder it is now difficult for people to understand all these different theories. Those who had no first-hand knowledge were just beating about the bush. A person with even a little discernment will see the difference between the words of a master and those of an ordinary man. The Gurbani describes this as the undeveloped words of worldly people and the developed words of the spiritually enlightened. The words to come from the spiritually enlightened come directly from some higher power. Actually, all speech is sustained, but there are two types of sound, one being hidden and the other apparent. The hidden sound sustains everything. Since when? The sound started beyond the four yogas. It vibrated the truth. The sound which becomes apparent is sustained by pranas, the vital airs or energy, but the hidden sound is not sustained by anything. We are all worshippers of the latter. What should one do to gain right understanding? Enjoy satsang, the company of one who has become the image of truth itself. Satsang is not the company of intellectuals, lecturers, hypocrites, propagandists, or paid preachers. All masters advise that to solve the mystery of life, one should first develop right understanding. To understand in reality that we are soul in the body, embodied soul, no matter whether we are Hindu, Muslim, Christian, or any other religion. Recognize all men's caste as one. There is no difference between he who lives in the city and he who lives in the jungle. For all men are truly embodied souls and all are sustained by the same power, that which controls the soul in the body. Just consider that there are 9 physical orifices, yet the soul cannot run out through any of them. Only when the sustainer or controller withdraws does the soul also leave the body. The breath leaves the body. It could remain outside, but there is something controlling that, something drawing it back. This is the mystery of life, solving which you will gain right understanding. Without right understanding, nothing worthwhile is achieved, but with right understanding, you will have right thoughts, and right thoughts will give you right speech and right actions. From then on, love for all mankind develops automatically. There will be no question of fighting with others over petty differences. You will express what you have seen and not what has been inferred. It is a great blessing to have been given a human life, and the aim of the human life is to solve the mystery of it. If you cannot as yet still the mind, intellect, and senses, then keep the company of Him who can do this. Where the Satguru is, there is the company of the truth. Satsang is not where we hear stories about the past and the future for the sake of earning someone's livelihood, where even the scriptures are explained in 1,000 different lights of understanding. Right understanding cannot be developed like this. Excuse me, but the volume of preaching is at a peak in this age. I do not think it has ever been so rife before. And the result of it all is hatred for one another. The steps we were taking were misdirected, and still we are doing today. So, what is the remedy? As I have said, to sit beside someone who has the right understanding. We will now take Guru Nanak Sahib's hymn. He said, "When you meet a true Satguru, you get the jeweled right knowledge." Satguru is the image of truth, who has become the true knowledge, and who sees that the Lord is the doer of all things and is working in all creation. Know a Satguru to be one who brings everyone together. This does not mean a guru of any particular sect, but a guru of the world, of all mankind. Such a guru does not see your religion, but rather he sees you, that you are soul in the physical form. He has freed himself from all shackles and can free others also. The questions of how the senses can be withdrawn from outer attractions, how the mind can be free from the senses, how the soul can be analyzed from the mind, are all part of a practical science, of which the Satguru is a competent expert who can give the scientific experience to the aspirant, who in turn, with the guidance and instruction of the Satguru, learns to increase that experience daily through regular practice. With such a method, the disciple can become as expert as the guru. There is a great difference between a master and a philosopher's stone. The latter makes gold from iron, but the former makes us like himself. A philosopher's stone cannot make another philosopher's stone, but the master can make souls realized. This is why all masters stress that reading, writing, and thinking are something apart from spirituality. Reasoning is the help, and reasoning the bar. If you go on poring over books and drawing inferences intellectually, you will at least be taking the first steps with the help of the words of the Masters found in the Holy Scriptures. But all this cannot be of any use in a practical science of withdrawing the senses from sense objects and releasing the mind. For this, some higher bliss must be enjoyed, which up to now the mind has never had the opportunity to taste. It is all a practical matter, and he who has realized the subject practically can give the secret knowledge of it. One must seek his company. And here I will stop and state that I read to begin Master's 1967 birthday message, which was titled, In My Heart I Have a Vision. And then I began Right Understanding Exalted, which you can find in the June 1972 Satsang Dash. Thank you, gracious Master.
Thank you, Christine, for your divine reading. 62 of us attended this evening's satsang. Thank you all for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So always abide what your Master says, the God in him, you see. Whether people admire you or not, don't get hurt. So you must abide by the teaching, by the saying, by the orders of the Master to live up to it. Irrespective of the world admires you or otherwise.